VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 19th of April 2020. We're still doing our best to avoid this dreaded lurgy that has impacted everyone on a global scale. However, News West continues, and today we're departing from our usual format to bring you an exclusive interview with Jan Socrates, Victor Echo Zero, Juliet Sierra. The interview occupies most of today's program, however, we think you'll enjoy it. The interview is also available as an audio-visual presentation, and you'll find that at vk6.net. We'll also hear some notes from the Radio Amateur Society of Australia, a quick note on the John Moyle Field Day results, Roy's helpline, and not much more. So let's get on with it.
Hi, this is Dan, VK6NAD. This week I had the exceptional opportunity of interviewing Jahan Socrates. Some of you will remember speaking to her last year as she passed by our coast as Victor Echo Zero, Juliet Sierra. Well, she's being held captive in VK6. So, we were lucky enough to have an interview with her. A note, the audio does suffer at times as this was recorded via a messenger app.
Hello, Dan.
Hi, Jahan. How are you?
Yes, fine, thank you. How are things with you?
Oh, not too bad. Well, thank you very much for agreeing to have a chat.
My pleasure.
I think we've got Alan, VK6XL, to thank for this. He seemed to pull some strings. So, this trip that you've just completed, I believe you've gained a little bit of notoriety on this one. Oldest person to circumnavigate the world solo, non-assisted. Is that correct?
We have to add in around the five Great Capes, because there is a guy, in fact, from Australia who went from Southport back to Southport, but he skipped two of the last capes south of Tassie and south of New Zealand, which in fact are not very easy ones to get round. So he's actually a couple of years older than me, but he didn't do the five Great Capes. So if we put in the five Great Capes, then the title still is mine.
Excellent. So the devil's in the detail. And those capes sound pretty devilish to sail round too.
I got my knockdown trying to get round the last one of them, the New Zealand one last year, middle of May, 14th of May, I think it was.
So what is a knockdown?
It was pretty rough going. I was sailing in around 40 knots of wind, which is pretty strong, and big seas, 6-8 metre seas. And suddenly one of the seas broke over the boat and pushed me over, and things got damaged. I had an air vent in the cabin roof was torn away, and I had a hole in the cabin roof, and suddenly I'm getting drenched with seawater coming into the cabin.
Oh, goodness. And that tore off a lot of your communication equipment, I believe, got rearranged, and your solar panels?
The solar panels went. One of my wind generator blades got taken away. My radar and GPS were damaged, terminally damaged, and of course a load of water down below, obviously, with that hole and the seawater coming in. So, and of course, also down below, a lot of things get thrown from one side of the boat to the other as you go over with the wave action. Great thump. I mean, it's like hitting a ton of concrete. It's pretty violent. And luckily, I was sitting on a soft bunk at the time getting ready to post my blog that night, so I was not injured.
Oh,
very
goodness.
Lucky.
You hear stories of aircraft hitting pockets of different density in the air, and everyone hits the ceiling that's not strapped in. I imagine that's what could have happened to you.
Yep, similar thing. But you don't normally go up, you go sideways over. So.
Oof.
But people, obviously, if I hadn't been sitting there, if I'd been just standing in the cabin somewhere, I could have got thrown around and hit something. I mean, people do often get concussed when the boat gets knocked down.
One of the questions I have for you is how you deal with, the isolation of being at sea for so long, but particularly in a situation like that. I guess the adrenaline kicks in, but then there's a reality that follows that. Your world has suddenly changed, and I imagine you'd have a very close relationship with your world, your boat, to hear it suddenly making, strange noises and behaving quite differently. That would be, surreal.
Yeah. Especially because suddenly, I didn't realise why at the time, but the whole boat was vibrating like mad. I couldn't understand what was going on. I was worried that the rig would come down, you know, when you get it that bigger vibration. Until I realized that it was the wind steering, the wind generator blade, you know, being missing. Of course, the generator was unbalanced. And so once I realized that, I was able to turn it off. And that's obviously then everything calmed down, which was a lot better.
You must carry a lot of spare parts. I mean, how long were you at sea?
I was actually at sea this time for 11 months. I expected it to be 7, but it was actually 11. I've got every other drawer or locker has got spares or tools in it, that's for sure.
I mean, solar panels gone, wind generator turned off. You're relying totally on what you've got in your batteries and any diesel power, I guess. Obviously, you prepared for those sorts of scenarios?
I have a little diesel generator on the boat to back up the solar and the wind. And now I was relying on that. And, of course, as you say, the battery power, which had to be behaving well, which it was not. So that became a big problem getting my... in fact, I stopped my radio talks around that time and asked people to accept, you know, to forgive me for not replying to emails. It took a while, but I actually eventually had to... I think I desulfated my batteries. I was being told that the reason they were suddenly not taking in charge. I mean, here I am needing the charge now because I didn't have my wind steering working anymore. That had gone down a while back, so I was relying on the autopilot. Mostly I'm not at the wheel, so I'm relying on autopilot or wind steering. So with the autopilot, of course, that takes power. So again, I needed the batteries working, you know, taking in a decent charge in order to get the autopilot working. So eventually, anyway, I mean, my battery, when I ran the little generator, instead of taking in about 120, 130 amps initially, and then slowly going down as the batteries filled, it got down to only taking in 20 amps, which was obviously not much good for running so many things that I needed to run.
Mm. I mean, I've listened to a couple of interviews, and I must highly recommend your QRZ page and web page. The QRZ page can be found at Victor Echo Zero Juliet Sierra. And, of course, I'm talking to Gian Socrates. So that's a wonderful maritime call sign you've got there. I was able to listen to a few of your interviews and look at the boat, etc. Absolutely fascinating how you've worked through some of the issues you've had at sea. And it seems to me that technical issues, electronics, things like that were probably as reliable as they are in a marine environment, really tested over that duration.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just this time, just like everything went down, I keep saying to people, I feel as though I had a devil on my shoulder instead of an angel.
I think you had an angel.
One big problem got resolved, or, you know, I managed to kind of work my way around it, something else would crop up. You know, I mean, I had my Genoa end up in the water, the big head sail ended up in the water before I even got down to Cape Horn. In fact, I went round Cape Horn without my big head sail. I have a little staysail, which is a smaller one, which is fine if the conditions are strong, which they often were anyway, so it didn't matter too much. But I finally got that back into action, back in place. I think it was before Christmas or after Christmas? I think it was before Christmas. And got my and then as soon as I'd done that, a few days later, my mainsail gets a big tear in it, and within a day or two, I had to take that down and out of action. So, and then the mainsail being out of action, that was all the way through from then on, through the Southern Ocean, all the way until I got around New Zealand. So that was a major problem again. So, then the headsail went down again. The big Genoa, I think within 3 weeks of finishing, I had no big headsail, and I had really light winds, so it would have been useful to have had
goodness.
It. So, you know, that was part of the reason why I was so slow, in fact, why I took so much longer than I expected, because I had, you know, sail problems and also weather problems as well, that, big areas of calms in between the storms. Obviously, you know, you don't go anywhere when you'll be calm. So everything took a lot longer than it should have done.
I recall local hams getting quite excited at the opportunity to talk to you as you passed VK6 during those technical issues. I assume having your radio friends, amateur radio, as a companion must have been almost an essential service at times.
Well, I certainly had a lot of help from Colin, VK6 Charlie India, who's actually here in Yarloop. That's who, effectively who I'm staying with at the moment. Because without the radio going, I couldn't have had my Iridium connection going, because I had been loaned an Aurora terminal, which gave me a Wi-Fi router, if you like, through the boat. It was a Wi-Fi terminal. And that had gone down big time. Now, normally I didn't have that. You know, it was too expensive. I normally can't afford to do anything like that. But someone had loaned me that. But it had gone down, and it was very useful because it meant that I was able to post photos. Normally when I post my blogs to my website, I do it via Winlink, and the connection, you know, the connection is very minimal bandwidth. I really can't afford to try to send any photos. You know, it just wouldn't work. So it's normally text only. But with the Aurora, I was able to send photos. And also I had a VoIP, a kind of a telephone-type connection, which was nice. You know, I could ring my great-grandkids up and wish them happy birthday, which was very good. But if I hadn't had the SF radio, the SF connection, Colin, you know, offered to help because that's his area of expertise. And over the radio, he was able to help me. Oh, we spent hours trying to figure out what the problem was and to get that working. So, yeah, and also when I'd had my solar panels go down earlier down, coming down the Pacific, I lost power completely from the solar panels. And that turned into corroded terminals, you know, butt connectors up on deck, and in fact, other problems then down below. And that was very useful because I was then talking to my friends in Florida. N6PSK Bob was able to help me troubleshoot a bit and get that problem eventually sorted. I mean, you know, a lot of the problems, I was aware of what the issue was likely to be. But there were times when I was completely stumped. You know, I'd done everything I could and all the logical, you know, troubleshooting had gone down, and I still had a bit of a problem. So it was very useful, yeah, to be able to talk to my ham friends who were only too happy to try and help me.
Oh, that's really heartening to hear. It'd be really lovely for the guys who have listened to you, spoken to you as you've gone down and around the coast to hear you, and now your voyage is complete. I understand this is not your first time circumnavigating the globe. Do you plan on doing it again, I wonder?
Well, this is my fourth time solo sailing around the globe. And the plan has been up to now, anyway, get back to the boat, do a load of repairs, because obviously, the reason for coming to Oz over the northern winter was to spend time here, see radio friends, see some family that I've got here, and then get back, repair the boat, and then go cruising and maybe do a circumnavigation of the Pacific.
Another question for you. Quite often we like to give advice to new hams, people getting into the hobby. Now, I understand that a part of what drew you to ham radio was the opportunity to connect up to Winlink and things like that. Do you have any advice for people, maybe shortwave listeners at the moment, looking at coming into the hobby, maybe involved in maritime interest? Do you have any advice?
The Winlink's been really important for me, quite apart from the voice, you know, chatting to people over the radio. That's been really good. Because, you know, as you say, being in isolation for 11 months, you know, it could have, I mean, people get driven crazy or used to on long passages by themselves, never touching land, never seeing anyone. So having the possibility of talking to people. But the Winlink, yeah, that was, it's a free emailing system. So, you know, if you go the Iridium route, it gets very, very expensive very quickly. Whereas the Winlink, once you've got your ham license and you're on the radio, the Winlink system is free. So you can email as much as you like, as long as you get the radio connections, which are pretty good. They've got radio stations all over the world. So you know, getting connected at some point in time isn't too difficult. And off go the emails, and back in come the emails, and weather as well. You know, if anyone's thinking of sailing and doing this, then the important thing about Winlink is getting the weather information that's come in as group files. Very, very important.
Oh, that's... Now, I wasn't aware of Winglink, but I've since looked them up on the internet. So winlink.org is the place to go, and there's a rather good map on there that shows many, I believe, if not all of the locations around the world, and there's obviously quite an extensive network. I notice there's no nodes mentioned in VK6, but I guess using HF, you would have regular access to VK4, VK7, I believe, as well. And I understand that a part of your success has been down to how you've implemented your amateur radio configuration in the boat this time, particularly the grounding system.
Yeah, that's right. I added in a square meter of copper sheet, had that glassed into the hull, and then connected into the centered ground plate on the outside of the boat, and then the other way into the tuner with wide copper strapping. And it's worked brilliantly. I mean, my signal's really good as a result of that good ground. And by the way, there is there always has been a very important VK6 station, actually, in the Winlink system. I think there might have been, you know, he might have had a technical issue, or he had gone off air for a month or two, but I'm pretty sure there's a very important VK6. I can't remember his call sign or his name at the moment, but he formed a very important part of the system to be in West Australia. And then you've got several in VK2 as well, over.
Oh, Roger. No, I felt looking at that map that there's maybe a little bit more detail I hadn't encountered. You click on some of them and you can see there's some additional information. It's a whole new concept to me, Winlink, but it inspires me enormously, the innovation that you find amongst amateurs. Clearly that's been of great value to yourself, but as someone that's only been in the hobby 3 years, I'm still constantly learning and boggling at the sheer innovation that goes into some of the apparatus that allows us to enjoy our hobby. So that's fantastic that it was of real practical use to yourself in your journey.
Well, one other item of interest, actually, on the radio side, is that as I rounded the horn, and I'd learned this the previous couple of times I'd done it, I was actually able to make a really, really good connection for Winlink purposes with Victor Echo 1 Yankee Zulu, Ian, up in near Halifax, Nova Scotia in Canada, because, you know, a north-south connection often works really, really well. You know, obviously the magnetic lines of force of the Earth are the reason for that. And I knew that middle of the night, when I wasn't able to get hold of other people, I could probably get hold, and sure enough, I did, you know, this time again. In fact, further over, when I was south of Africa, it was really quite funny, because using the same idea, I was struggling to connect to someone to send off my emails, and I was looking to see who was due north of me in a similar situation, and of course Russia is. So I looked at to find a Russian station, and sure enough, I made a connection with the station and sent off some emails and got some back. And usually when I connect into a new station, it's all run by, you know, volunteers. I sent a thank you to the guy. Well, he was so staggered. He couldn't believe that I'd made a connection with him from where I was. With Ian, VE1YZ, up in Nova Scotia, I often say to him when I'm in that situation around in Cape Horn and he's up in Halifax or near, very close by, you know, we're setting a world record here on a direct link, you know, north-south link. But the radio side of things gets very interesting.
I must admit, it'd be like talking to someone in Antarctica, especially if...
Oh, I've done that.
Yeah?
Twice going around Cape Horn, I've actually talked to the South Pole Station, K4AAA, Alpha, Alpha, Alpha. That's great. That's good fun. You know, when you've got a ham down there, which, you know, among the, you know, the many people they've got, they do often have. The previous time I'd gone around and I made the connection, the guys I was talking to were keeping up the VHF repeaters all around the area, so people, when they went out from the bases, could stay connected. And these people were just literally, you know, operating the base station, you know, with that, using that call sign, trying to get hold of Europe, actually. But we were very happy to talk to each other. You know, they were intrigued to find that they were talking to me as a solo woman sailing around Cape Horn. And I was fascinated to find that I was talking to someone a few yards from the South Pole itself.
Goodness gracious. Well, those rare grid square hunters would have certainly enjoyed keeping tabs on you.
Yeah, I had that as well. Yeah, I had some people who literally, in fact, my QSL manager, Rusty Oates, well, half his call sign escapes me, but he came to me initially with a couple of others, purely because he's a good square hunter, and he's now got some pretty unique squares as a result of connecting me in different parts of the oceans.
I'd say so. Well, thank you very much. I'm sure it had plenty of hardship, but there's got to be a reason you keep doing it. Thank you very, very much for sharing with us today. I'm going to edit me out of some of this, I'll tell you that now.
Well, you're very welcome.
Oh, very good. Thank you very much, Jan. Yeah, you enjoy the rest of your time. You're entrapped in VK6, and I hope when all this is over, you get to do, you know, some of what you intended to do. Don't forget to set up that shack when you get home.
Yep, all right. Okay, thanks very much.
No worries, Jan. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, cheers.
7-3. Bye.
This is VK6 ARN.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris, VK3QB, from the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. 60 metres. Can you help? As we're all spending more time on the radio, now is the time to perhaps try listening on 60 metres. RASA is preparing for ACMA's review of the LCD, and we're starting to listen to what signals are being heard here in VK and the potential for interference to primary users. Just a reminder, amateur radio is a secondary service on 60 metres. This means we are secondary to primary users and we must not interfere with them. Most modern transceivers have a general coverage receiver. If you're interested, please spend some time listening on the 60 metre band. The band is 5351 through to 5365 kHz. We're especially interested in logs covering daylight hours, but the hours of darkness will also give us an insight into current 60 metre propagation conditions. Send us a log of any signals you hear. Head to our website and download the logging template. Type 60M log, that's 60M log, into the search bar and download the template today. If you have any questions, please send us an email, info@vkradioamateurs.org. Now, some great news, a new national 70-centimetre distance record. Congratulations to Lee, VK2, Kilo Romeo Romeo, and Peter, VK6, Kilo X-ray Whiskey, who set a new VK 70-centimetre distance record of 2,806 kilometres on digital modes. Well done, and congratulations to Lee and Peter. The final in our news about callsign numerics, and do they really matter? As previously reported, the ACMA have confirmed that there is no regulatory requirement for an amateur to obtain and use a new callsign when they move interstate. The only requirement is they transmit using a callsign as per the LCD. To read more, head to our website and type callsign identifiers into the search bar. Now on to a new special event call sign. RASA Stay at Home Nets, VI 2020 Stay Home. Australia joins over 25 other countries in using special event call signs Stay Home. VI 2020 Stay Home is a special event call sign issued to the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. It will be used to promote the message Stay at Home and encourage hams all around the world to isolate at home and get on air. Of course, we send our good wishes to everyone directly impacted by this epidemic. Join our weekly nets every Thursday at 10:30 Zulu. The schedule and frequencies can be found on our website by typing Stay Home Net, that's one word, Stay Home Net, into the search bar. If you can't hear us on 80 metres, try listening on an SDR. Email us with your stories, questions or topics for our nets as you stay home. The email address is vi2020stayhome@outlook.com. Well, that's it for this week. Stay safe, stay healthy, and get on air. This is Victor India 2020, Stay Home, 7-3.
Jared VK6 Quebec Mike has told us about the amateur radio project at the Nanup Men's Shed. Nanup is about 270 kilometres south of Perth, inland from Margaret River. Jared said, when this pandemic is over and we get back to normality, the Nanup Men's Shed will get their amateur radio station on air. The idea of an amateur radio station for the men's shed has been an ambition from the early days of getting the men's shed established. Jared added that it's taken the group a bit of time to get to where they are now, and the building is up, and they are sorting out where everything sits in the building. So now there's a radio room, and with the generous help from the WAVHF group, there are radios and antennas to operate with. There's a tower for the antennas to be mounted on, thanks to Peter, so that when things go back to a bit of normality, they'll be on air with the call sign VK6 Bravo Hotel. Jared said they are now busy designing the QSL card. Again, a very special thank you to the WAVHF group, as without their assistance, the Nanut Men's Shed wouldn't have any radios. Thanks to Jared, VK6 Quebec Mike, for sending us the information about the amateur radio section of the Nanut Men's Shed. We hope to hear VK6BH on air soon. Next week is Club Focus, and we invite clubs to tell us what they've been up to. How's about telling your story about what your club is doing to bridge this widening gap of social isolation? I know some clubs are holding on-air meetings and skeds, and some are going online using Zoom and other online solutions. What's your club doing? And how is it going? Send your story to newswest at vk6.net. We've got Anzac Day coming up on this Saturday. Again, the usual plans have been thwarted by COVID-19 precautions. However, there have been some creative options proposed. An Australian amateur radio contribution to Anzac Day is being able to use the Alpha X-ray prefix for the day. So let's see more of us get on air on Anzac Day and proudly wave our Alpha X-ray on-air flag. The next time we get to trot out the Alpha X-ray prefix is on Sunday the 17th of May, being International Telecommunications Day.
Good morning, fellow amateurs and show listeners. This is Roy's helpline for the 19th of April 2020. Still locked down, and I hope you're making the most of it, cleaning up your shack. And we have the remains of a shack closure here from last week. We still have two Philips FM92 2-meter transceivers. There's a Kenwood AT130 antenna tuning unit, a Create rotator, Romeo Charlie 5-1 plus the cable. There's a high-gain TH3 3-element 10-metre, 15-metre and 20-metre band 3-element Yagi. Need some help with lowering that. There's two 20-amp power supplies. There's a Packrat PK232 Mike Bravo Victor. There's a Daiwa AT-SW110 ATU. There's also a 2-metre amplifier, two low-pass filters, 50 ohms and 500 watts. And 50 ohm at 1 kilowatt PEP, two heavy-duty antenna bases, many smaller antennas, a number of mobile antennas, and a number of lengths of coax with cable and antenna radio books. And Mike is happy to listen to any reasonable prices, so give him a call on 0402 262 308, at 0402 262 308, or the email is Sierra Tango Romeo Oscar November Alpha Charlie Hotel Figure 1 at optusnet.com.au. Again, that's Sierra Tango Romeo Oscar November Alpha Charlie Hotel Figure 1 at optusnet.com.au. That's from Mike, XVK6 Mike India November. And Jeff, VK6 Zulu Yankee, you may still have a Kenwood TS440 Sierra transceiver with power supply and microphone available for $350. Also a Yaesu Fox Tango 817 transceiver with HF Miracle antenna, SWR meter, auto tuner and cables, and handbook, asking $385 for that one. Thank you, says Jeff. And you may contact Jeff, VK6 Zulu Yankee, on telephone 0414 919-141. And that's all for this week. VK6 X-ray Victor, now off and clear for this week. Anyone like to check in for next week, please call me. And the email address, victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. 7-3 for now.
Thanks for tuning in. News West can be heard on air, online and on demand. It's all there on vk6.net, our website. The interview with Victor Echo Zero Juliet Sierra is there for download as an audio-visual presentation. NewsWest has a single point of contact, emails to newswest at vk6.net. Thanks to the team this week, Dan VK6NAD, Roy VK6XV, and as usual, thanks to the broadcasters. I'm Bob VK6POP, the producer, advising you to take care of yourself and to get on air and make some noise.
Thank you.